that you're staying focused to what your leader had established in you, that you will continue to look to the hills from which cometh your help. Because Pastor Williams didn't look to man to guide him. He looked to God. You ought to give God a praise for a godly leader. Amen. I'm going to approach this tonight in a Bible study fashion. I don't want to preach to you, but a little preacher might come out of me. I was just a few weeks ago out in Copper's Cove, Texas. And I went there because where I was stationed there at Fort Hood for many years, I became connected with the Bible Way Baptist Church up under Pastor Shannon D. McMullen. Pastor Mullen, McMullen came here to St. Pete after I left that area and started pastoring this area. He came and he shared services with me at Grand Central before I got to Mount Pilgrim. But he stayed interested in my ministry. No matter where I was, because he had a heart of a pastor. And he passed away, and we went there to say our final farewells. I learned something through that experience. I was involved in something, not knowing that God was going to be calling one of his soldiers. We know we all got to go, but something unique happened at his homegoing service because Pastor McMullen wanted certain things done a certain way, and he had identified if this son traveled from here to there, this is who's going to do this, this is who's going to do that. But something I seen that was very unique in that service is that he wanted the church to be encouraged. Now, you may say, what does that mean, Pastor? Because the family is grieving. His biological family is grieving. We are praying for the family. Amen. Friends and people that know him are grieving. We are praying for them. But where God had planted him to pour into other people, the place called the church, is also grieving. And so my prayers were with him, with you, through this whole process when we got the word that the Lord had made the final decision and say, come on home. We knew that there was nothing else we can do but accept the will of God. And through communicating, just want to reach out and say, let the church know that you're doing all right. This opportunity came about to say, just come over and worship with us. This not to preach you. This ain't saying nobody. This is to encourage you. Anybody need some encouragement tonight? Amen. Amen. Now listen, I know that was nice. This not for me. Really, this is not for me. Is there anybody in here that needs some encouragement tonight? Yeah. Come on and give God a praise. Yeah. And anyone that wants a copy of this, matter of fact, specifically to the Victory Kingdom Worship Center, I'm going to leave this copy with you that we're going to discuss tonight. You keep this close to you because I want you to watch and see what God is going to do. I'm not going to sit here and say, and I was sitting there when I was thinking about coming, he came to me and told me, no, it didn't happen that way. Okay, I'm not one of those magical preachers that things. But I am spiritual. And immediately, this scripture was laid on my heart and I began to read it. I shared with one of your elders here. Well, whatever y'all decide, just go to Psalms 46 and read. Rather, I had to come and deliver it in person, or you could pick up the word for yourself and see what the Lord has to say. Can we be encouraged tonight? Amen. So, this will be here for you. I'm going to use it to keep me on track tonight. Father God, we pause to thank you right now. We thank you for the work, amen, of your servant, your son, Lord God, who you entrusted. You poured so much into this man that he couldn't help but pour into others. For his cup was running over. And everyone that came in touch, contact, in any way, form, or fashion, was touched by his cup that was running over. Now, God, we know that your work must go on. We know that your word must continue to go forward. We know that you have established your church and you've already declared in your word that upon this rock I build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we are not here to talk about what the enemy might do. We are here to magnify your name. Great is the Lord. You are greatly to be praised. Touch every heart here tonight. Both these congregations that have come and others that have come. God, touch our hearts right now. We pray as the word of God has declared that you will open up our eyes of our understanding so that we'll know what the hope of our calling is in Christ Jesus. And we declare your word to continue in this place in Jesus' name. Psalms 46. Amen. It says, God is our refuge. Amen. He is, not is going to be, but he is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar on and be troubled, though the mountains be shaken with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, a stream wherefore shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle, the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathens raised, kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melt. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come and behold the work of the Lord. What desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh war to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Amen. And he said to me out of this book, encourage the church. Encourage the church. You do understand that the church is not this building or the lights of this edifice that we are in. Amen. The church is you. Look at somebody to say, the church is you. So he didn't send me here to talk to the chairs, the pews, or the lights, or the plants. He sent me here to talk to you. God is. Somebody say God is.
God is.
Say it again.
God is.
Say it one more time.
God is.
You got to remember that God is.
God is.
He said God is our. Listen, I know we have our own special way of serving God. Yeah, I serve God my way, you serve God. But he is our God. Oh God, help me right now. He is our God. You may not understand why I'm where I'm at, and I may not understand where you are, but God do. And he loves me just as much as he loves you. He's our God. Somebody say he's our God. So watch this. He says here, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. I looked at this word refuge, and it means that God is our sanctuary. I know you entered into this building, but think about what this building represents. Think about what this sanctuary represents. This sanctuary gives us covering. This sanctuary gives us protection. That's why the walls are there. This sanctuary gives us some level of comfort. You understand that it says that God is our refuge. God is our sanctuary. In him I got covering. In him I have protection. In him I have comfort. I want you to know tonight that when you say God is my refuge, you are saying that he is everything I need. Refuge. Somebody say refuge. So understand, this is not somebody that we understand in the war term. This is covering. He's our sanctuary. Just like when you enter into this building, this man-made building you call sanctuary, you expect when you flip a light switch, a light will come on. That when you adjust the temperature gauge, that the air will either get cool or hot. God says that when you step into him, when you're stepping, when he is your sanctuary, he is your light. When life gets so heated, he is what cools things down. When the enemy is coming in like a flood, he is the one that will raise up a standard. Somebody say refuge. He's our refuge. Refuge also can be defined, amen, as a shelter, protection. But then he says that not only he's my refuge, my shelter, my protection, my strength, but he is my strength. And I looked up strength. I was looking for another definition. And I kept digging, and he says, it is what it is. Somebody say, it is what it is. When it says that he is our strength, you got to understand, we use terms like, that's my forte. Yeah, that's what I like. That's my taste. Or somebody gonna get this after a while. Because see, the same psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And so watch this here. When God is your strength, amen, you don't go for any other flavor. I don't care what it look like, what it smell like. I know what I'm looking for. And there are sometimes people be trying to give me, you ought to just taste the chicken the way I cooked it. I know the way I like my chicken cooked. When you start pouring different stuff on there, talking about, ooh, it's going to really bring out the flavor, me not going to touch it. Because me know how I like my chicken. And that's why when you start trying to pour stuff in, making people think that God is like this here, I know the kind of God I want to serve. I know who he said he is. I know what he said he would do. Don't try to pour nothing on it to make it this or that. I want what I want. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I want what I want. Now that's up to you to make up your mind. But that's my forte. That's my strength. And see, when you know what you want, then you're not so gullible to run after anything. God said to encourage you that you got to know what you want, so that you won't be running after just anything. If the Lord is your strength, amen, that means that my mind is made up. My heart has been fixed. I ain't going to the left or to the right. I'm going to stay right here until he bless me. See, some folks that be talking about they're strong, if you watch them, they really not. Because they fall for this, they run after that. They're strong. People ain't easy to be in. I just want to encourage you tonight that God said to remind you that he is our God. He's our God. Somebody say, he's our God. Amen. He's our refuge. Amen. That means he's my shelter, my protection. He is ours. He belongs. He said, you are mine and I'm yours. He said, remind them that I am their strength. I am their strength. You're not looking for man. You're looking for God to show up. Can I say this while it's in my spirit? And I know we are talking about a lot of stuff. Let me say this to you. Wait. Honor this man of God that have pastored you, that have been by your side. I ain't talking about honoring him one day. I'm not talking about honoring him for a week. I'm talking about you honor him as a body. You honor him. Don't just honor him at his homegoing service. You honor him through everything that you do. You got to, if you love God, you'll honor this servant that he placed in your life. While you're waiting, you honor him. Nothing changes. Until God says, it's time to move forward. As long as you are in this stage, honor him. You honor him by staying close together. You honor him by not airing your dark, dirty laundry out there for everybody. You honor him. Hallelujah. Now, when you get this copy of this, you won't see that in there because that just dropped in me. But honor your pastor. He says, the Lord is my strength. He's my refuge. Watch this. Therefore, verse number 2, y'all in the Bible, right? Read verse 2 to me. We will not what? Say it again. Okay, so the first verse, you recognize God. When you truly recognize God for who he is, then you can appreciate verse 2. But if you don't see the Lord as your strength, your protection, your shelter, you will not be able to appreciate verse number 2. Because if you don't understand your shelter, you'll keep running from house to house. See, people that are fearful, they're always running. They always, you know. Fearful. But if you know who your refuge is, if you know who your strength is, then verse 2 will make you shout. The only reason you can shout in verse 2, because you understand the first part of this, that God is our. Oh, good God Almighty. Read verse 2. Therefore, keep reading. Though the waters, though the mountains, somebody say, we will not fear. Look at your neighbor, say, I will not fear. So isn't this interesting? That verse 1 established that God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. And when we dissect the words that he uses, we understand the shelter, the protection, and the strength, then the forte and the gift that we have in him. And then it says, therefore we'll not fear. And then it starts telling you everything that's going to happen. Why didn't you tell me everything that was going to happen before you had me make a declaration that I wasn't going to fear? Because when you start talking about earth moving and mountains falling, now I'm thinking different. You should have put that up front. It's just like you meet the woman, you know, when you fell in love with your first love. And she said she loved you, but she ain't know what was all coming after that when she said, I love you. This man can eat up. Sister Hazley did not know she was going to have to cook like that for me. I love me some clocky. I do. You mean you want me to cook everything? Girl, I love your cooking. See, didn't know what was coming after you said I do, didn't you? But yet the word of God reveals it. The word of God reveals, watch this here. I will not fear though. Now you done already said you're not going to fear. So whatever come now, you got to be able to deal with it. Now really what he's trying to show you, and I want to show you that really this was a testimony of faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I don't have to know what's coming. All I know, if God is with me, I ain't scared. If the Lord is with you, you ain't got nothing to be afraid of. You ain't got to fear. No. Whom shall I fear? When you look at the word says, lo, I am with you always, so you can boldly say, I will not fear what man can do unto me. I am with you, so you can say it. Stop asking God, God, what I'm going to do? God say, say what I told you to say. So when mountains start moving, when the earth starts shaking, I went to Puerto Rico for the first time. Never been to Puerto Rico. They're like, Clark, you ought to go. I flew into Puerto Rico. They say, we having an earthquake. I say, get me out of here. As excited as I was, I ain't never been in an earthquake. That's why I'm going to California. I could deal with a hurricane. I can't deal with no earthquake. Moving under me and I don't know which way to run. But yet, the word of God, watch this. He says, though, that means that these are the things, watch this here, that you're going to have to look out for. Yeah. It's going to happen. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not fear. We will not fear. I want you to embed that. I will not fear. If you watch Animal Kingdom, the animals can be so pleasant. Everybody doing what they're supposed to do. It takes one animal to get hysterical and disturb everybody. And they don't know why they're running. You remember how it was, Deke, when back in the day when we was in the streets? We hang with the posse. And we talking all bad. And all of a sudden you just saw somebody running. You just like, what? Now they're a little crazy today. They see trouble, they run to it. But I'm going to show you something in this text. Can I show you something? I really want to get to you. Watch this here. Verse number 4. Let's read it together. There is a river, the stream wherefore shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Though all this stuff is happening, because God is in the middle of this thing, because Jesus is the center of this church, amen, you ain't gonna be moved. People gonna make you think that y'all ain't, but listen. So look at somebody and say, I shall not be moved. Now all you're doing is agreeing with God, because the word of God says, because he's in the midst of this, you can't be moved. You can. I just want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage, when you don't understand what to say or what to do, be still. Because God is in the midst. Some may be questioning, well, why he took him now? Don't worry about that. God was in the midst. And if you really understand the Lord is my refuge and my strength, you'll understand that really we all live for that day when God says to us, what now he has done, well done, come on home. Stop worrying about it. God didn't make no mistake. Amen. And Pastor was ready to meet his maker. He was ready. He wasn't preaching no lie to you. He wasn't preaching something to you that he didn't believe. He wasn't teaching to you something that he wasn't looking forward to. He lived for this day. And you need to be encouraged to say, you know what? I don't want him to catch me with my works undone. Let me start playing church. Let me start playing with. Let me come to church with God on my mind. Let me come to church, amen, knowing that whatever may come, I shall not. Watch this now. Watch this. I'm almost done. He says, so God is in the midst. It also, don't miss this here part of it back in verse 4. Shall make glad the city of God. Now, weeping is okay. Mourning is okay. You should cry. When you had a faithful, committed, loving, passionate pastor. The last time I was here, I was preaching the anniversary, and the church had blessed me. Pastor Williams pulled me aside. He said, you did more than what I expected. I said, well, I appreciate it, Doc. He said, no. He pulled me aside. He blessed me even above that. Because he had that kind of giving heart. See, people don't understand. People say we ought to hold on to it. But what we have learned is the more we give. He was sowing. He understood that. Watch this here. Yeah, traditionally, that's what you got for coming over. But this is personal from me to you. There's so many people out there that's in it for what they can get out of it. You We had a pastor, a man of God in this city, that wanted to make a difference in this city, wanted to make a difference in the lives of the people that he pastored. That's why he was the encourager that he was. And you have to honor him with that. Wherever God take you from this day forward, honor the man that he used to pour into you. His memory, his legacy should never vanish or die. It shouldn't just live in the life of his family. It should live in the life of the church. Somebody say glad. So you're going to cry, you're going to have some tears and all that there, but God going to make you glad. People going to say, but ain't y'all, no, we happy. Because we celebrating his life. We are happy. Because we do know and we do believe. How many of y'all believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Give God a praise. See, the world look for other things to make them glad. I got to get turned up tonight, Doc. I'm going to get turned up. But God give us a word that get us turned up. Oh, y'all. Watch this. He says, and God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Then watch this here. God shall what? Help her. It ain't no sense in trying to be he woman or he man. Like you can handle all this here. You need help. I need help. Amen. Ain't no sense in. See, you can't fool me. Put on your best Sunday dress, best Sunday suit, and you still need help. Amen. Shout up a storm. Run a hole in this carpet. You need help. The good news is God has already positioned himself to help us. Our God has already positioned himself to help us. So God is in the midst. You're going to be glad. Amen. You're going to be kept. Amen. And you're going to be helped. When you look at wherefore in this, it says whereof. It says whereof. In other words, by how is this going to happen? God. How are we going to make it? God. You know, the only thing that you really need to do in this text is don't be afraid. Because what you don't understand, God already knows. Where you have never been, God has already been there. I think it was interesting that he used Moses to go back into Egypt land to help the children of Israel when he led them out. And if you understand Moses' story, Moses was raised up in the palace. He was very familiar because he had to run out the palace. And he had wandered around in that very desert all that time, not knowing that God was going to use him to go back. So when they became afraid, Moses was like, I done been out here before. Have you ever been somewhere where somebody ain't been? And they scared. And you saying, what you scared of? See, if you're from Tennessee, you used to driving through the mountains. But you take one of us city folks, we be like, oh. Woo, woo. Am I right, Sister Hazel? I was in Tennessee. We was out there on vacation. The cabin in the Smoky Mountain. It was way up in the hill. We had to drive our car up there like this here. This woman jumped out the car. She said, I'd rather walk up to the cabin than to ride up here because I ain't been through nothing like this before. And that's enough of that.
But when God is with you, when God is with you, he just said, don't be afraid. I know where I'm taking you. I know what's coming at you. I know what's around you. I see it before you see it. By the time you see it, it's too late. And as I get ready, I want to share this last piece with you guys, because I just want to encourage you. The heathens are going to rage. Kingdoms are going to be moved. Kingdoms, stuff that man put up, it's going to be moved. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised what God will move out the way to get you to where you need to be. But you ought to thank God every day, because there was some things, some people in your life that God moved so you can get to where you are right now. Jesus. You ought to give him praise. Amen. Come on, give God praise. Amen. How are we going to do it? The Lord is going to make a way. He will move it out of the way to get you to where he wants you to be. Amen. God is going to help you. God is going to keep you. God is in the midst of this church. I'll say that again. God is in the midst of this church. God is in the midst. God is in the midst. Say it with me. God is in the midst. Sometimes you can't argue with people. You can't go down these paths that people want you to go down. You got to remember, I can't act like that. God is in the midst. I can't talk like that. God is in the midst. I can't come in here with that attitude. God is in the God is in the midst. God is in the midst. The Lord said, even though these things are going to happen, kingdoms are going to be moved, earth is going to melt down, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse number 8, somebody say, come. Say it again. I want y'all to put a hyphen on verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, come. It's in the text. Read it. Come, behold the works of the Lord. No. See, you want to look at what the choir going to do, what the preacher going to do, what the member going to do. You need to come with your mind on the Lord. I wish I had a witness in here. Somebody say, come. He says, come behold the work of the Lord. Come behold what God is going to do. When you look at the word come, watch this here. Come mean to move toward. Come mean to get closer. That when I walked in, I said to some of my members, y'all can't stay back here. I'm going to call you out. You got to come closer. Come means to move nearer. Amen. We want to serve God from a distance. God wants you to get up close and personal. He don't want it to be no mistake. When he bring you through what he gonna bring you through, man can't get the credit, no elder can't get the credit. You gonna say, I know it was the Lord. I know it wasn't nobody but God. When he deliver your children, you can say, I know it wasn't nobody but the Lord. When he heal your body, you can say, I know it was nobody but the Lord. Somebody say, come. come. That means, church, you got to come close. Don't see, this is what some people like to do. I'ma see what they gonna do. If that's your mindset, I ain't gonna just get mad at you. But to everybody else, come. Get close. Come near. This is not a time to stand back and see what's gonna happen. This is the time to come and see what the Lord is going to do. This is the time to come and see the hand of God in this situation. This is somebody say, come. You got to get close. You got to come closer. You got to get nearer to this. You can't keep serving God from a distance, hiding behind somebody else. Amen. That's why sometimes God moves people, because we were hiding behind somebody else. We trying to use somebody else's anointing. God's got an anointing for you. God's got a work for you. God's got a calling for you. God's got a gift for you. Somebody say, come. So, as I leave you with these encouraging words tonight, you got to come, though the earth is going to be shaking and moving. You got to get closer, even though mountains are going to be moving. Well, maybe you don't understand what the Bible's saying. Let me talk to us in our language. You got to come close, even when they're talking about you. You got to come close even when they point their finger at you. You got to come near even when they are setting traps for you. There are people up there saying they ain't gonna make it happen, and they already counted against you. Can I share my testimony tonight? Over 12 years ago, this coming up on my 12th year now, over 11 years ago, when the Lord laid on my heart and laid on those that were at Mount Pilgrim at that time, that's is where I would be pastoring. Amen. At my installation service, I was sitting and bursting the pulpit with ministers. One of them leaned over to me because of the history of the church. And one of them said, Doc. I don't know why we call everybody Doc. Doc. If you last 3 months, they still count. I'm still celebrating anniversaries. Oh, y'all ain't hear me in here. When people count you out, you got to know that God is counting you in. You got to come when they betting against you. You got to come when they rolling against you. You got to come. Somebody say, come. You got to come. You got to come even though you walk through the valley of the shadows of death. You got to get closer, even though it hurt. Anybody serving hurt? Anybody know what it's like to serve hurt? I seen athletes that love football, basketball. They got broke arms, broke fingers, but they want that ball. They want to play. Even though they hurt, they want to play. I wonder if there's any Christians in this house tonight, even though you're hurt, your heart been broken, you still want to get on the field and you want to do what God say do. Is there anybody in here that want to play hurt? I don't want to worry you. He maketh war to come to cease the ends of the earth, and he breaketh the bow, and he cutteth, amen, the spear to sunder, and he burneth the chariots with fire. He says to me to tell you, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. That means those people that talked about you, and I'm telling you, God will bring it to pass. Those people that's counting against you, God has a way of bringing it back full circle. The same ones that was putting you down, they'll be looking for a hand up. Will you pray for me? Amen. That's when they exalt God. Amen. Have you ever ever seen somebody that hate God, exalt God? You got to come closer. You got to come near. See, you miss the awesome things that God do, because if you let stuff build up in you and you don't let it go, you're missing the awesome things that God will do. God will show you that every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess. He says, I am God, and about me there is none other. He says, I am God. Lo, I am with you always. Somebody said, be still and know that I am God. God bless you. A copy for the church and for whoever want it.
Thank you, Pastor Hazen. Awesome.